Throughout history, remarkable men and women have left behind ideas capable of changing the course of a life. In each episode, we'll explore one section of a timeless book, uncovering the enduring wisdom, practical lessons, and powerful stories that continue to shape thoughtful lives today. These are more than book summaries. They are an invitation to join great dialogue that has connected generations of readers, leaders, and lifelong learners. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Dialogue on Dialogue.
Welcome back. In this new series, we're walking alongside good old Ben Franklin through his autobiography to discover what his remarkable life can still teach us about learning, character, success, and becoming just a little bit better every single day. This is Benjamin Franklin's Part 12, The Secret to a Lasting Legacy. Imagine that tomorrow someone handed you complete financial freedom. You never had to work another day in your life. What would you do? Travel? Pick up a hobby? Sleep in? Benjamin Franklin eventually reached a similar point. His printing business had become very successful, so much so that it largely ran without his daily attention. He finally had the freedom to pursue whatever interested him. And what did he choose? Not retirement. Not luxury. Public service. This chapter asks a fascinating question. Once you've achieved success, what is success for you? By the late 1740s, Franklin found himself in a position few people ever reach. His business was financially secure. Trusted partners managed much of the day-to-day work. For the first time in his adult life, Franklin imagined devoting more of his time to personal interests, reading, scientific curiosity. Instead, something unexpected happened. Because he now had both time and a reputation for getting things done. People continually sought him out. One public project after another found its way to Franklin's desk. One of the first involved an institute of higher education. For years, Philadelphia needed an institute devoted to educating future generations. Eventually, community leaders established what became the University of Philadelphia. Finding an appropriate building presented a problem, though. Franklin proposed using the large non-denominational meeting hall that had originally been built years earlier for visiting preachers. Its purpose had always been to serve the entire community. Now, it would continue doing exactly that. Franklin served as a trustee and was appointed to oversee the renovation of the building into a proper educational institution. One feature particularly reflected his thinking. The governing board intentionally included representatives from multiple religious traditions. No single denomination would dominate this institution. Franklin believed education should unite people in pursuit of knowledge rather than divide them by sectarian competition. Today, that institution is known as the University of Pennsylvania. It stands as one of Franklin's greatest legacies. Franklin also found himself serving as a full member of the Pennsylvania Assembly. Previously, he had worked as the Assembly's clerk, recording proceedings. Now, he could participate directly in debate, propose legislation, and help shape public policy. The one opportunity soon appeared. A physician approached Franklin, hoping to establish Philadelphia's first public hospital. The idea had merit, but public enthusiasm and funding were limited. Franklin recognized another opportunity. Rather than asking the assembly to fund the hospital outright, he proposed a partnership. If private citizens could raise the first £2,000 through subscriptions, the assembly would match the amount with public funds. The strategy worked brilliantly. The promise of matching funds encouraged private donors to contribute. Citizens became invested in the project because they knew their generosity would be multiplied. The hospital was successfully established. Franklin had once again found a way to align private initiative with public support. He applied similar thinking to another everyday problem. Philadelphia's streets. Most roads were dirt roads that became muddy and difficult to travel after rain. Instead of arguing in abstract for better streets, Franklin experimented. He organized improvements in a few specific locations, keeping them cleaner and easier to use. Then he invited people to experience for themselves the benefit. Seeing these benefits firsthand proved far more persuasive than simply reading about them. Public opinion gradually shifted, and improved streets spread throughout the city. Near the end of this chapter, Franklin reflects on a profound observation. He suggests that lasting happiness is rarely produced by sudden windfalls or extravagant luxuries. Instead, happiness grows from countless small improvements that make everyday life just a little easier, healthier, more enjoyable. It's an insight that feels just as true today. So here are a few of the lessons that I picked up from this chapter. Lesson one, success creates responsibility. Franklin viewed financial independence differently than many people do today. He didn't see it as permission to withdraw from society. He saw it as an opportunity to contribute more. The more freedom he gained, the more responsibility he felt to use it wisely. Perhaps the real purpose of success isn't simply to improve our own lives, it's to increase our capacity to improve the lives of others. Lesson number two, build institutions that outlive you. Businesses come and go, careers eventually end, but institutions can shape generations. The university, the hospital, the library, these became lasting gifts to the community because Franklin invested his energy in building things that would continue serving others long after he was gone. It's worth asking ourselves, what are we building that will still matter years from now? Lesson number three, show, don't just tell. Franklin understood that demonstrations persuade better than arguments. Rather than endlessly debating road improvements, he built a small example. People experienced the benefits for themselves. Whether you're leading a team, raising children, or trying to improve your workplace, people are often convinced more by examples than explanations. Lesson number four. Small improvements create great happiness. This may be my favorite insight from this chapter. Franklin argues that happiness isn't usually found in dramatic moments. It's found in daily conveniences. Safer streets, better schools, libraries, hospitals, clean neighborhoods. Small improvements multiplied across thousands of lives create extraordinary communities. The same principle applies personally. Small daily habits often create far more happiness than occasional extraordinary experiences. As I finished this chapter, I was struck by how differently Franklin measured success. He certainly enjoyed business, he appreciated financial security, but once those needs were met, his attention turned almost entirely outward. Schools, hospitals, roads, libraries, public service, each project reflected the same question: how can I make life just a little bit better for the people around me? Perhaps that's why Benjamin Franklin remains so relevant nearly 3 centuries later. He reminds us that the most meaningful lives aren't measured by personal accomplishments, they're measured by the communities we strengthen and the opportunities we create for those who come after us. So remember, my dear listeners, the lessons are older than we are and just as relevant today.